Hello, and welcome to the Burning Issue podcast. I'm Luke Walsh, the editor of the news website, endswasteandbioenergy.com. And I'm interested in what happens to our waste that can't be recycled. In the past, all the waste has been buried in landfill, but landfills are terrible for the environment. And even when they're covered over, they can still leak all sorts of bad things into waterways. As a result, the waste industry has moved to energy from waste, which is not a perfect solution, but it is by far a step forward compared to landfill. However, in the past, residues left over from the energy recovery process have had to go to landfill anyway, which kind of defeats the point of the technology. But some companies are working to change that. These include OCO Technologies. They process air pollution control residues, known better in the industry as APCR, into aggregates. So I'm talking to OCO Managing Director Graham Cooper to learn about how its carbonation technique treats these residues. Hello, Graham. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Luke. Thanks very much for having me. It's great to be here.
For people who don't know, can you tell me what OCO does?
Yeah, so OCO utilises carbon dioxide to treat ash residues to produce a sustainable aggregate product in construction.
There was a split with part of the business, which went on to become Carbonate, and they've been on the podcast before. They explained the difference from their side, but could you give it from yours?
Yes, the origin of both businesses is common. But a number of years ago now, some of those involved in our business decided to pursue other routes, more research-based, while we focused on developing our processes in the UK at a commercial scale. So since then, over 10 years, we've grown our UK business to circa 35% market share. And this has then attracted a number of businesses from overseas to seek our partnership in tackling carbon capture and valorisation of other waste materials. So that's how our business has developed from that point.
It's interesting you mentioned the overseas thing, because I think at the start of this year, you've split out the UK business, the international business, and an Australian-based element of it. So how is that all developing?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got some big ambitions internationally. As I mentioned, we've got a lot of interest from overseas businesses. Obviously, waste is a common challenge around the world, and with the acceleration of efforts towards net zero, the interest in our business is growing. So as an example, we've already built a plant in Japan in partnership with another company who've now licensed our technology to roll similar plants out over there. Just signed an agreement to build a new plant in Spain. And actually, recently, some of my colleagues have been in Australia developing plans for our facilities to support energy from waste over there as well. So a lot going on. And my appointment into the business was made in order to support that growth. So Steve Gregg, who was previously the MD of OCO Technology, he's now moved into a role as CEO. And he remains in overall charge of the UK and international businesses, but this gives him some headroom to develop some of those projects.
As you said, you've just come into the business and you joined from Tarmac previously. So is it the production of the aggregate stuff that gets you excited?
Actually, most of my experience at Tarmac was in cement and lime. So I worked in that sector for about 16 years. And for the last five of those, I ran their UK lime business before moving into the role as sustainability director for Tarmac. I guess having been heavily involved in, first of all, decarbonisation of lime and cement, but then also the wider sort of net zero effort for Tarmac, it was actually the sustainability credentials of OCO that attracted me to the business. You know, if you look at our business, the fact that we reduce landfill, we capture carbon, and we produce a sustainable construction product, there's not many companies that can boast three ticks quite as green as that. So that was a key factor. And to be honest, apart from that, since I've joined, I've also found, you know, some really great people and a business with some strong values, in addition to the prospects that I've just been talking about.
You've mentioned a couple of times about the products you make. Perhaps we should just explain for people who don't know the energy from waste sector as well. When you take the residue, how do you then produce it into your products?
So there's a number of different streams that comes from energy from waste, for example, bottom ash or IBA. What we use is different. It's APCR, and that comes from the gas cleaning on energy from waste. What we do is we treat that material with carbon dioxide. So we take biogenic carbon dioxide, treat that material so that it's no longer hazardous, and then we combine it in a series of steps using patented technology to produce a manufactured limestone aggregate.
It's interesting, the aggregate side, because the aggregate side and the waste sector have all been sort of intertwined. But do you think as the energy from waste sector has grown and we've moved away from landfilling, has that changed or is there still a relationship?
I'd say not completely changed, but definitely developed. So obviously landfilling has reduced, but there is still a need there. Now, clearly, the material streams that have arisen from energy recovery from waste, they present an opportunity as recycled materials. You could say that where construction was previously supporting the waste sector by providing landfill space in terms of exhausted quarries, gradually the waste sector are now supporting construction by reducing the need for virgin aggregate as these recycled materials increase in volume.
I wanted to ask you, in the past, you've talked about some of the company developments there, but Grundon used to be a significant controlling part of the business until September last year. Has that allowed you to maybe talk with more businesses in the EFW sector?
Yeah, so there's not actually been a change of control there, more the group restructure to allow the polarisation between the existing UK business and our international ambitions, as I spoke about earlier. So Grundon remain a key investor and shareholder, and they have and continue to provide fantastic support to our business. Well, they're a family-owned and independent business, so actually they've never been restrictive in any way to our business.
I suppose the next question to obviously ask you is about, are there any UK-based EFW developments you can talk about? I know you've worked with firms like Endava and Infineon previously, but are there maybe any other details you can give?
We've got some great relationships with many, if not most, of the UK energy from waste companies. If I list them and leave one out, I'll not forgive myself, so I'm not going to do that. What's great for us to see is that all these businesses are increasingly focused on ESG, and that has a great fit with our values and our business models. So yes, there are some major contracts coming in the pipeline, and on the back of those, we see an opportunity for at least another additional 100,000 tonnes of capacity in the UK. So watch this space, so to speak.
Interesting times. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, I feel in the general public's view, the energy from waste sector might not have the best or the most positive image. Maybe there's some scepticism around the use of aggregated products from the residues. Is this an outdated view? And if it is, why?
I know I don't need to tell you this. Obviously, the energy from waste sector performs a critical role in the UK. So making use of waste in a useful way and avoiding landfill is the obvious one. And additionally now, because we've got an increasing amount of renewable generation in the UK, but very little means at the moment to balance the generation profile, energy from waste provides a nice flat profile of power generation, which adds great value. But further into the future, once carbon capture is applied to energy from waste, they're going to be capturing and storing or utilising some CO2, some of which is biogenic, which is thus going to create a carbon negative process. So it's difficult to acknowledge anything other than a positive view of that sector, in my opinion. And we're obviously proud to partner that sector and be a key enabler of it. When it comes to the use of materials derived from energy from waste, that's a huge added bonus. Yes, there is an understanding of the materials and how best to apply them to different construction applications that's needed. But to be honest, that is no different to concrete, steel and timber, etc. So if there's scepticism about the industry or about the materials, because it's easier to use expensive, carbon-intensive, non-renewable materials, then yes, it is an outdated view, probably not one that belongs for much longer in a sustainable world.
Hopefully. It's interesting that you brought up the carbon capture element, because obviously in the energy from waste sector, everyone's talking about carbon capture. The systems will be attached to the flues and they'll use various, scrubbers and things like that. Would it affect you going forward if all the plants are fitted with these things? Does it change how you have to operate at all?
No, not really. I mean, the two technologies are support one another, really. There will still be the requirement to clean the gases. And actually, depending on the different technology of carbon capture, you mentioned one of them, amine scrubbing, certain pollutants in the gas can be very damaging to those processes. So there's still going to be the requirement to clean up the gas. And the way that's done is by treating it with products such as lime, which produces APCR.
That makes a lot of sense. You've mentioned this slightly before, but when you talk to people in the FW sector about residues and ash left over from the recovery process, are they seeing it now as a useful material, or do they still see it as something that's landfilled and they move on from?
I guess it's important to say that the residues are only useful once they've been transformed into something else. Yes, I think companies are keen to avoid landfill. And do they see the value in transforming them into something else that can be used? Yes, I think so as well. In our case, we process it to become recyclable, and we've got the added benefit that we're absorbing some carbon capture from the atmosphere into the aggregates as well.
Other guests on this podcast have talked about the end of the energy from waste building boom. Obviously, your business is very much connected to more energy from waste plants coming. Do you feel that maybe we've reached or past the peak of EFW construction in the UK?
I think everyone had agreed that there's a natural slowdown coming as the energy from waste capacity matches the waste inputs and as exports of waste reduce. There's probably room for a few more large-scale ones, maybe some smaller ones linked to district heating. As you know, the industry will soon be coming under the emissions trading scheme, and so things like infrastructure for carbon capture are going to become factors as well in terms of different constraints required to actually build a plant.
Mentioning the UK's ETS, that's from 2028. Has that promoted more interest in your company?
I wouldn't say so, no, because I see carbon capture, certainly carbon capture and storage, there's a lot of interest in that on the back of ETS. There's been growing interest in our technology over a number of years, but ETS is going to trigger very large volumes of CO2 being required to be captured. The volumes that we capture are less than what comes out of an energy from waste facility. And so, like I said earlier, we see our technology as complementary to carbon capture and storage rather than as in opposition to it.
You work with the bioenergy sector side as well. Is it easier to capture emissions from bioenergy plants rather than EFW, or does it not matter?
You can capture CO2 from anaerobic digestion and fermentation, etc. It is easier, but purely because of the scale. So provided you have a use for the CO2, which in our case we do, then it's relatively straightforward to capture CO2 from smaller scale plants like anaerobic digesters, fermenters, etc. As far as capturing carbon on the back of an incinerator or a cement plant, for example, the equipment is much larger and then there's infrastructure required to remove the CO2 afterwards as well.
We've talked about the UK's EFW portfolio expanding. That's good for you, and you've expanded yourself with expansions of your facility in Leeds and other places. Is there anything else you can talk about? New facilities or plans for expansion?
Yeah, actually, we've just started our new facility in Norfolk. So a site called Wretton, where we've just got things up and running. It's a great site with loads of potential, and it's got our latest generation of equipment and control, which we're using to increase our capacity to process APCR in the UK. It also will allow us to close our first site, which is going to be a sentimental moment for a lot of people in our business because that's where it all began. But that site's our smallest plant and is reaching its end of life. So that capacity will be replaced by the capacity in Norfolk. Beyond that, as I said earlier, I think there's enough in the pipeline in terms of future energy from waste that we can see the need for a fourth plant being required at some point in the future for the UK.
Well, you can't say anything about a location for that yet, I guess, can you?
Not yet. I mean, I think we've got some definite preferred areas if you look at where the energy from waste facilities are spread and where we're currently having to move material from. So obviously we'd like to, for cost and sustainable reasons, we'd like to move the material less. So we've got to try and locate it in a region that we can reduce the logistics required.
I wanted to talk to you about the policy environment for a bit, for your take in particular in the UK and EU currently. The economy, it's up and down. How do you think the policies look for you at the moment?
I suppose if you look back, the introduction of landfill tax in the UK and then the subsequent waste regulations in 2011. They've led a real change in terms of avoidance of waste, greater recycling, etc., and of course provided a foundation for growth in energy from waste. However, there does remain an option for landfilling APCR through derogations for waste acceptance criteria, despite there being alternative treatment options, and in our case, a recycling option. So I think that ought to be looked at. Despite sustainability targets at a national and local level within government and within large companies, there's still quite a lot of inertia to the replacement of virgin aggregates with sustainable options like ours. And I think regulations are needed to insist upon exhaustion of all circularity options that are open to any construction project before the use of virgin materials.
We will have an election this year, and the polls are indicating there could be a change of party. Do you think a Labour government would have more of an interest in energy from waste and your technology? It might be more focused on it, whereas a Conservative government maybe just lets business get on with whatever works for business. What's your opinion?
It's difficult to say. I would say traditionally you could argue that Labour values probably tend more to what we're trying to do. However, you know, recent changes, I think the challenge for either government getting in is the balance of what Treasury is able to do versus what our ambitions are in terms of net zero overall as a country.
With the UK, we've had the trouble with Brexit and COVID in the past. Has that influenced your options to look more at the EU and Australia, or is it just that you are a growing business and growing businesses expand to different markets?
Yeah, I wouldn't have said Brexit and COVID have caused us to look that way particularly. I would say in a lot of cases the interest has come to us because it's been attractive and interesting, and there's an economic case in different countries as well. That's the thing that's driving it, as opposed to the landscape in the UK.
We sort of come to the end there. So the final question I ask everyone that comes on The Burning Issue is, what is the question I should have asked you, and how would you have answered it?
I suppose the other question could be about what developments have we got on the other side of our process. So obviously you've got a real interest in the energy from waste side, but OCO links energy from waste with construction. So on the construction side of our business, we've already got a range of manufactured limestone products that are used in various construction applications. And we're soon going to be doing some rebranding on that construction side to better showcase our credentials and some of the wide-ranging uses of the aggregate. But we're also going to be launching a number of carbon-negative products on the back of us recently having our EPD verified for our manufactured limestone as having an impressive minus 63 kilograms of CO2 per ton of product. So we believe that in a world of ambitious carbon reduction goals and yet limited or expensive solutions at the moment, OCO can assist in companies reducing their carbon footprints using some of these products right now. And we're going to be looking to raise the awareness of that.
Hey, well, hopefully this can help a bit. So what you basically say, construction companies should get in touch with you now.
Absolutely.
Graham, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks very much, Luke.
All that's left for me to say is thank you very much for listening. If you've liked what you've heard, please share it with your networks, either in person or on socials. It's all really appreciated. And if you want to know more about the waste sector and energy from waste in particular, go to the website endswasteandbioenergy.com, where you can sign up for our free newsletters or take out a subscription if you want to. Goodbye.